one to another episode of the Smitty Sports Talk Podcast. I'm here on a Saturday morning, an early morning, with my good friend Cav, man. How you been? How was your past week? I know I was on a hiatus last week, and you balled out for me and got a job done. I really appreciate it. So how have you been since then, and how are you feeling for these games this weekend, man?
Been good, man. Hope you had a good vacation. Everybody needs a vacation every now and then. Reset the body and the mind. Yeah, man, I'm excited for the wild card round. We got some good games, some really good storylines coming into these games, and I'm excited to talk about it this morning.
Yeah, we do have some good storylines. I'm really excited. I like how it panned out. I think it was a little shocking to me. I thought Green Bay and Aaron was going to sneak in, not going to lie, and they didn't do it, yep. So that was good for them. Jamal Williams is a clown, if we're speaking Lions. And honestly, it's kind of sad not seeing the Lions in, though, too, because they look like they're probably the best team that's not in there right now. So it's definitely sucked to see, but it is what it is. We move on. But let's get right into it, man. No time wasted. Seahawks, Niners. Opening thoughts. Niners, I think, are 10-point favorites in this game, as they should be. Brock Purdy has done his job. What he needs to do, and we talk about it all the time, it doesn't matter what quarterback you really plug into that system. As long as he's not turning the ball over, he's going to be able to do a job. And he hasn't done that. He's done a fine job getting to his guys. Christian McCaffrey has been a difference maker since he's been traded over here. I think this game will be a little bit closer than people expect, though, because of it being an in-division game, and it's the third time these guys are going to meet. It's very hard to beat a team three times soundedly. So I think this will be a closer game inside the 10 points, in my opinion. I think I like what I've seen from Geno and that offense enough to say that they're not going to lay down and die in this game, even though 49ers defense is very, very good.
Yeah, I agree. I think the line is a little high right now. I think I'd agree if I was going to bet on the line, I would take the points. You stole what I was going to say. It's hard to beat a team three times in a year. But I do think it's going to happen. I look at last week, you know, the Seahawks had to win to get in, and they did win. They won, you know, in overtime on a field goal against the Rams. The Rams had nothing to play for, and Geno threw two picks. They didn't look good offensively. I'm a firm believer that you have to go into the playoffs with some kind of momentum. It's really hard to, you know, fall backwards into the playoffs and have success. And I kind of feel like that's what the Seahawks have done. They struggled in the second half a little bit towards the end. They were able to get a good win against the Jets 2 weeks ago, but how they played against the Rams just did not convince me last week. And I think, I mean, the Niners are just playing too well right now. The only thing that the biggest question mark, you know, for San Francisco, obviously is Brock Purdy. And I think as the playoffs go on and as the rounds go on, if San Francisco continues to advance, it's going to be more of a conversation if he can handle it. But I think for a first-round game against the Seattle Seahawks team that he already beat in primetime earlier this year, I think he will have enough to get this job done. And like I said, I agree with you. I don't know if it's going to be a 10-point win, but I don't see how the Seahawks can win this game.
Yeah, no, I don't see how the Seahawks win this game either. I think their saving grace is they saw Kenneth Walker show up last week. I mean, he did carry the ball 30 times and averaged 4 a carry. But as for the Niners, Nick Bosa's on the other side. They have these guys. That's a possible defense player of the year right now. And it's going to be very hard for them to sustain offense. I think that it's going to be a gritty game and they'll keep it close. But you're right, though. Go up to win 19-16 against the Rams, who literally were just there to just put on whatever type of show they wanted to, is definitely tough. They were 6-3 team at one time. Now they're 9-8 team backing into the playoffs. So with what you said, I totally agree, and I think that San Francisco will take care of this probably by a touchdown or so. So let's move on. But it's crazy. I can't believe the Seahawks are actually in the playoffs. That's kind of – I think, again, we thought the Seahawks were going to be one of the worst teams in the entire league. So let alone 9-8, I mean, good on them to, you know, shut people up. But Chargers, Jags. This one for me is going to be my favorite game of the weekend, I think, to watch, other than Bucks, Cowboys. I don't know. I've been a slight hater on the Chargers and how I think we've all been, because we wanted to see more from them. We finally start seeing a little bit more of Justin Herbert and a little bit more. Keenan Allen's been back, and Austin Eckler's been the workhorse. They're without Mike Williams in this game, and I don't know how much that's going to matter, because all you need is Keenan Allen in that team, and that team clicks. But for the Jaguars, it's at Jacksonville, because they won the division, and now you're a Jacksonville team who's coming off of a really good end of the year. I know your young players are cooking really well. Your head coach is getting you in position, you know, giving you that hype and giving you that belief that you can win a playoff game or at least contend. I know talent wins, but I wouldn't be surprised if I see Jacksonville play really well in this game and take over that defense that's not been so strong with Trevor Lawrence and their running attack with Travis Etienne, and maybe use him a little bit more than expected in this game and make some big plays.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville in this game as well. I talked about, you know, with the Niners and the Seahawks, I'm a big proponent of you have to have momentum going in, and that's exactly what Jacksonville has. They're one of the hotter teams in football right now coming in to this wild card weekend. And for me, the Chargers defense has just been too inconsistent all year long. We've seen games where if you watch, you know, their games, some of their games defensively, they look really good. And then there's other games where they just really don't look good at all. And, you know, like you said, it's in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence didn't play that great in that win over Tennessee on last Thursday, but that was a playoff game, you know, essentially. It felt like a playoff game.
Yeah.
You know, in Jacksonville, and I feel like he might have a little bit of jitters out from playing that game. I expect him to play better. This Jacksonville team is, you know, an offensive-based team, and I think they're going to be able to score some points on this Chargers defense. And, you know, Justin Herbert, to me, obviously the guy's got a great future, you know, in this league. This is his first playoff game, believe it or not. I just don't think the Chargers have had it all year. I feel like they've been, you know, one step short all year long. They've been banged up. They decided to play their guys last week. Mike Williams is now not going to play in this game. That's another conversation for another day. We're not going to get into that. But I just feel like this is not their, you know, this has not been their year. It's just been a tick off, and I think the Jaguars are too hot right now. I'm taking the Jags.
Yeah, totally agree. Christian Kirk has actually lived up decently to his contract. Yep. Washington State. He's played really well the last few weeks as well, and all season long. Started the year off hot, and I think if you're going to have a guy like that being turning up, then you know what? Anything can happen. So I'm excited for that game. I think it'll be a really fun game to watch too. So I think that's a good night game to finish out the Saturday slate. So as for finishing out Saturday slate, we want a Sunday. Dolphins, Bills, I really don't have anything to talk about in this game. I think the Bills will throttle the Dolphins without Tagovailoa. I don't think there's a chance in this world that the Dolphins make this a close game, in my opinion. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I agree. This is a game where I'm taking right now it sits at 13.5. I'm taking the 13.5. Yep. I think Buffalo, with what they've gone through these last couple of weeks and how they've played, you know, obviously – you know, they had a little bit of an up and down game on Sunday against New England. They were able to pull it out. I think this is a game where all of that's gone. You know, obviously, you know, DeMar Hamlin's home. You know, everything is, you know, getting back to normal in that situation. I think they're going to go out and clobber the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins without Tua Tagovailoa last week put up 11 points, two of them coming out of safety at the end of the game that, you know, didn't really count. It was a 9-6 game in overtime. They can't score enough points without Tua to even stay relevant in this game against Buffalo, especially when it's in Buffalo. I mean, we talked about this throughout the year with the Dolphins. They don't run the football, and they don't try to. So when you don't have Tua, you can't run the football. And that's, you know, a really big problem for them. They have nowhere to get offense, nowhere. You can't even run the football for, you know, some solid yards and try to open up play action or try to get the passing going a little bit. You didn't try to do that all year.
Yeah.
You haven't done it all year. So you're not going to be able to do it now. I don't know if it's going to be Bridgewater or if it's going to be Thompson. Either way, this is a 20-point victory for Buffalo, and that place is going to be going nuts. I totally agree. I don't see this being a game at all.
Yeah, neither do I. And one thing on DeMar Hamlin and the whole situation, the news that he got discharged that second that popped up on the phone, greatest thing ever. The guy, literally warrior. I can't believe it. All the prayers work, everything, you know, good on him. Very, very happy to see him and his family okay, and he gets back good. So I think that also that story and that will fuel this team to want to do everything possible to win every game that they possibly can. So, yeah, it should be a 20-point victory, like you said. And we'll move on to the next one. And really simply put, I don't think it's going to be that competitive. It can't. How can it be? So one game that's going to be competitive, Giants-Vikings. 4:30. 4:30. And I don't know. I want to give this to you. Initial thoughts, Giants-Vikings.
All right. This is a tough one for me. I feel like everyone's on the Giants. And, you know, for solid reason, I mean, in my opinion. I mean, the Vikings, we've talked about the Vikings all year. I talked about them last week. They're inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get. The Giants have played pretty solid football these last couple of weeks. Daniel Jones has really taken a step forward. Now, I don't know if that's his development or if it's Brian Daboll, but either way, he has looked a lot better this year, commanding that Giants offense. Defensively, they're pretty solid, and Kayvon Thibodeau is really starting to come on these last couple of weeks. I could see him start, cause some havoc in this game. Then you flip over to the Vikings, and they've been inconsistent. Justin Jefferson the last couple of weeks has not been Justin Jefferson, and we know that Kirk Cousins in primetime is sometimes shaky. He's 5-13 in primetime. This is primetime. I mean, 4:30 on Sunday, you're the only game going. You know, this is prime of prime for Kirk Cousins. I've went back and forth in my opinion on this game all week long. My initial thoughts were the Giants, to be honest with you. I like that the Giants can run the football. They can control the clock, and their defense, I feel, is solid enough to, if Kirk is not going to be, prime Kirk, to keep them, within striking distance, kind of like, how they played, in week 16, I believe, when the Vikings won on a field goal.
Right.
Later in the week. And, my pick now is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. They're at home. I feel like everyone's hopping on the Giants, and that just scares me. That to me tells me, nobody believes in the Vikings. Everyone thinks they're fugazi. And you know what? Their record might be fugazi, but they're a good football team. They don't defend very well, but I don't think the Giants are a super electric offensive team where that's going to kill you.
Barkley.
Yeah. And Kirk Cousins can put up points. I mean, he might – to be honest with you, 23 points might be enough to win this game. I think Justin Jefferson's going to have a bounce back. I think we're going to see him, emerge. Once again, he's had a down couple of weeks. I see him having a big game. And, this is a game that Kirk needs to win. I mean, the Giants are not the 49ers. They're not the Eagles in the NFC. That's going to come later. Right now, this is a game. You are 13-4. You need to be a 9-7-1 football team at home in the first round of the playoffs. You just have to. And I think, there's a lot of people say a lot of bad things about Kirk Cousins. He was once my quarterback. His record is not good in primetime. This is a game I don't see him losing. I really don't. I think he's going to get off the schneid, get a nice primetime victory. I don't know how far they're going to go, but I'm going to take the Vikings in this one.
I tend to agree. I think – I'm kind of in your boat. I was never fully sold on the Giants because, the more I think about it, and this is different in football than it is in basketball. In basketball, your talent wins. It wins games.
Yep.
In football, it's not all about talent. Talent does win you games, obviously, but momentum is a ginormous factor in things. And I think the Vikings, how they've been playing the last few weeks, have been so up and down. It's been up and down all year that it's tough for me to be sold on that team since – we've never seen anything get put together. It's similar to the Chargers, but instead this team is winning these games. The Chargers were losing these games. And I think that offense is extremely good. I don't see how the Giants defense can stop everybody on that offense. I don't think – because now we're seeing Thielen get more action lately. He's been playing well. Who's been good for his entire career. Just Jefferson gets on. I don't know who covers him. I don't know who covers Thielen. I don't know who
Nobody really covers
T.J. Hockenson. I don't really know who covers those guys. The only saving grace of them is to stop Dalvin Cook and take the clock away. And that's their recipe to win games. That's been the recipe for the Giants all year. And you might see it early, but I think the adjustments will kick in and the Vikings will probably win this game and probably cover the 3 points, in my opinion. So, because they're just a better football team, to be honest. It's just a better football team. And better football teams win, and Kirk does need to win this game. Because if he loses this game, it's going to be very tough for him mentally, that him, rest of whatever his future is going to be, and for this team going forward, because they have a window and they need to win it now. So I think they'll get it done. As we move on to the next game, you have any other thoughts on that game?
No, not really. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I like them to cover. Actually, I think it might be a 1 or 2 point victory. I think it's gonna be a close one.
3 points, right? It'll be a close one.
I think it's gonna be a close one. It might be three. I think it's gonna be a good game. I'm thinking
like a 27. Maybe a 20 or a 24-20 game, something like that. That's a
That could definitely be possible. Definitely. Yeah. But I do like the Vikes. So
yeah. All right, sweet. Let's go Ravens Bengals. And honestly, same boat as the Dolphins, in my opinion. It's just a little slightly different because of the system that they run. Because they do run the ball. That's something that the Dolphins can't. But without Lamar Jackson, I mean, you don't have a bailout with this team. He's your bailout player. You don't have it anymore. The Bengals have been playing fantastic football for a very long time now, since the rough early start. And at home, I think they're going to cook this team again. I think they'll cover. I think the line for this game is also like 11 or something. So I think they will take care of business against the Ravens without Lamar Jackson this game.
Yeah, this is a bad job by the NFL. There should be a game today.
This
shouldn't be the 8:15 Sunday night. Listen, anyone who thought had any hope that Lamar Jackson was going to play in this game, you were wrong from the start. I mean, the guy's not paid. He's not going out there. He's just not.
No.
I knew it from the start. It wasn't happening. They can say whatever they want. He's not ready. Whether he's ready or not, he's not going out there. It's not happening. You said everything. Mm-hmm. You took everything that needs to be said. The Bengals are playing great football. Cincinnati's playing great football. Baltimore can run the ball a little bit, but that's only going to get you so far. And there's going to come a point in the game where you're going to need, you know, whoever it is, Huntley or the other guy. I don't even know the other guy's name, to be honest with you. Where that guy's going to have to go make a throw. And I don't see it. I see it being, you know, maybe a little bit closer than the Dolphins game, just because, like you said, they can run the football a little bit. That's, you know, really their DNA. But once again, like you said, there's no bailout option here. There's nobody who's going to go make a big play for you when you need it to be made for this Baltimore team. There's five guys on that Cincinnati offense that can go make a big play for you, you know, on third down. It's not going to happen. The only thing that I do like is that, you know, it is a divisional game, so I don't know about the points, to be honest with you, but Cincinnati is going to win this game, and I don't think that is much of a debate. So
yeah, I think this is one thing to just note. This is, means literally probably nothing. They did play last week. They just played. They're playing again. Yeah. In back-to-back weeks, which I don't know the last time I've seen it. I know it happens pretty often probably, but they have played. This is the second week in a row. So you have immediate tape. I don't think Cincinnati was playing to, like, because they couldn't win the one seed because the unfortunate circumstances that happened the past week. So I don't know. They didn't probably have as much to play for as they possibly maybe wanted to. But you have some tape on them from a week ago. You might be able to use that for whatever advantage you can find. So – there's that. Well, let's move on. I do agree, though. Bengals should probably win. They should win this game by, at the very least, a touchdown in this game. And now we go to this brings us to the fun one, huh?
Yep. This is the game of the weekend to me.
Yeah, and I'm happy it's the last game of the playoffs. I think Monday night. I don't know how I feel about playoff games on Monday night, though. I don't know if you like the money, keeping the Monday night game, taking away the Thursday night game. I get it. That makes perfect sense. But putting a Monday night game on, I don't know. I think this, like, you could take this, put it to Sunday night, put something else there, and or just get rid of it and put three games on today and three on, like, I don't know.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I'm just blabbering. But Cowboys Bucks, man. Spicy one. This is going to be the talking point of America for a very long time because the Cowboys have high expectations, and I think there's people riding that horse on the Cowboys very highly right now. In my opinion, I don't see it. I don't understand the much of an outrage for this team to perform at such a high level that I'm hearing from the just local media, from national media, that this team should be able to go out there, beat Tom Brady, go out there, beat the Eagles, go out and go to the NFC, whatever. I don't see it. Personally, I just don't think the roster is as talented as we first thought on offense. They don't. Their wide receivers are very thin. Outside of CeeDee Lamb, I don't think Michael Gallup's played to expectations. Noah Brown's been the second best guy. That's not going to do it for you.
No.
Dak has been throwing picks at a high rate. So if I'm Tom Brady and I'm playing in Tampa, I have a chance to keep my career going, and I think he does it in this game.
Now, let me ask you a question.
All right, let me hear it.
You're down on Dallas. Is that part and parcel because of what you've seen all year, or are you a little bit of a prisoner of the moment of last week?
Good question. For the entire year, this Cowboys team has shown that they had chances to compete with how their defense has been playing early in this year, at least. And their defense has not played at that elite level since like week six. They're still playing at a good level. Dak has came back and has not impressed me at all. I don't think he has not played bad. He has played very average, I would say. And he's done very average things. I just think if there's no Tony Pollard, which is, again, early season success, he's not been playing as much for whatever reason. Zeke has been the guy. If that's going to be the nature of this team, to go in there and play your guys that are going to get contracts, the guys that's in there and playing that have the big money, and you're going to try to show out with Zeke, Dak, CeeDee, and obviously you have Micah and the back end of that defense, I don't think it's been very strong. I think it's been very leaky. It showed how, again, the Eagles game is definitely in my head because I watched it, and it definitely didn't, you know, it wasn't good for the Eagles to lose that game, but I think it's the same thing as the first time they played in Philly. There were 4 turnovers in that game. Gardner was playing in that game. And you know what? That was a division game for them. That was the division game. They win that game and they win the next game. They're in the division. Not in the division, but they fumbled the entire year. They didn't win the division for a reason. They had to go in and put 30 up on Gardner Minshew, having four turnovers in that game to free themselves to have even a chance. And I don't think that team, if you're a number one seed, which is what they would have had if they won the division, that's not a number one seed team. And I don't think that – I think that 5 seed for them is really where their ceiling's at. And that's what I feel like all year. I just never seen it, and I don't think the Cowboys are really that great other than a few pieces, which, again, can carry you. But there's no momentum in this team. They lost to Washington.
Yeah.
So that was your reps game, and they didn't get anything done, and I don't know. So I think Tom Brady will take care of this team. I really don't think the Cowboys are that great. That's my feelings all year, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Dallas, man. I mean, you know I'm a Commanders fan. I watched this game from start to finish. The Commanders did not play a great game either. This should have been 40-6. I mean, that's how bad they played. From every facet of the game for Dallas was awful. I mean, Dak Prescott was 14 of 37 for 128 yards, a touchdown and a pick.
That's 14 of 37. Abysmal. 14
of 37. And if you watch this game, there was throw after throw that he had looks and just complete inaccurate passes. There was, you know, he had the pick six to Kendall Fuller. The play before that, he threw a pick six to Kendall Fuller that was dropped. Should have been a pick six to the same guy. He dropped it. He then goes to the same guy. And I mean, it just – he looked awful. They had the, you know, the fumble on the punt.
Oh, my God.
And on the punt itself.
Dante Turpin.
Yes. So the special teams looked absolutely awful, and there were drives in this game where Sam Howell looked really good against this defense, who was elite through 5 weeks. Through 5 weeks, this defense was elite. Sam Howell, first career start. I mean, that can't happen. Micah Parsons has disappeared. He really has, and that's concerning if I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Dak Prescott continues to throw interceptions and put his team in bad spots. That is concerning. It's now concerning that the special teams can't handle a football. That's concerning to me. Everything about this Cowboys team is concerning to me. Maybe I am a little bit of a prisoner in the moment because I did watch this game from start to finish. But like you said, we've been seeing glimpses of these things all year. It all came to a halt in this game where, you know, you saw it all fester at once. But yeah, we have been seeing this little by little throughout the season. You know, I know we scoffed at it, you know, when we were talking about it, but I think they might be better off with Cooper Rush in this game. I don't trust Dak Prescott right now. I just don't. I don't trust Dak Prescott at all. And I'm concerned about Dallas. And when I look at Tampa Bay, it's the same kind of stuff with them. I mean, they haven't played well all year. Tom Brady hasn't looked like Tom Brady.
I've been a hater of them. Trust me.
Yeah.
I don't like that team either. But, yeah, no, you finish your point. Finish your point.
They finally got Mike Evans in the end zone three times against Carolina. Tom Brady is 7-0 against the Dallas Cowboys in his lifetime, and he's at home. This has got to be at least in the first round. This has got to be the first time that Tom Brady has ever been an underdog at home in the first round of the playoffs. It's got to be the first time.
It has to be.
It's got
to
be the first time. That's got to piss him off. We know Tom Brady. We know, you know, how he thinks. Okay, he's like, okay, I'll show you then. I think that this is going to be the Tampa Bay Bucs. I really do. I think they're going to be able to run the football a little bit, you know, against this defense. And if the defense for Dallas is going to continue to, you know, give up easy pass plays, Tom Brady's going to pick them apart all night long. If it becomes a little bit of a shootout, I don't trust Dak. He's going to throw it to the Tampa Bay Bucs. I just don't trust it. I'm taking the Bucs.
Yeah, pretty well said. I think our points similarly align. And I think both reasons why you can't turn the ball over this many times in a playoff series and going into the playoffs. You can't come off a game that you're looking so poor and expect to look so elite the very next week when you haven't been elite ever this year. Other than, I think you stated this, I think the best of Dak was the second half or the second quarter on of the Eagles game that they played a couple weeks ago. That was the best of Dak. And if that's the best of Dak, man, in that type of environment, in that game, good on him, but, like, that's not going to do it. You know, it's not going to do it in a playoff atmosphere against Tampa Bay Bucks, who do have a solid defense that can make him turn the ball over multiple times if need be, and it probably will happen. So, you're right. You said Michael Parsons disappeared. Stat sheet, he absolutely has disappeared. He hasn't been able to really muster any of those early season sacks. He hasn't forced a fumble in a lot of weeks. And this guy was a fumbling machine. Coming off early on, he was a sack machine. I mean, he's still making, you know, things definitely tough because he's Micah Parsons.
Yeah, that was a little dramatic on my end.
No, I hear you. But for Sam Howell to play that well in that game for being Sam Howell, just being literally thrown into the fire and say, yeah, well, you're the next one on the list. Go out there and play. He played well, and I think that's concerning. You should be able to just take care of business against Sam Howell. Just take care of business with that defense. But they didn't do it. Now you get Tom Brady, seven-time Super Bowl champion, is it? Right? Six, seven?
Six.
Whatever it is. Six. Who cares?
Whatever. He's got enough. He's got
12, so it doesn't matter. So he'll get the job done. And I think 46-year-old Tom is going to make it interesting for the playoff run because I think they'll end up playing Philadelphia the week after if that happens. So, we'll see how that goes for my sakes. I think I'd rather play the Buccaneers anyway because I just don't want to play Dallas. Screw Dallas. But all in all, I think this playoff is going to be very exciting, and I think that it's kind of – the first round seems kind of predictable, but that always makes it too easy. Nothing's too easy. So we might see something that we completely might get wrong. Who knows? But – all in all, man, a good first week of games. Do you have anything to add?
I do want to make one more point about the Monday night game.
Please.
The coaching. Mike McCarthy, dude. Here's my thing. This Washington game. I keep going back to the Washington game because this is the last we saw.
It's a recent game. I mean, this was
a game that, you know, you had to win if you wanted a chance at the one seed. And to come out and look that ill-prepared as a football team and, you know, have those kind of mistakes, some of that I think is also on coaching. I think Mike McCarthy was made by Aaron Rodgers. I think, you know, we've seen this guy, he's not a motivator. He doesn't get his guys prepared. I think that's another thing. I mean, Tom Brady, you know, say whatever you want about the guy. He's a little bit, you know, of a psychopath, but he's going to have his guys ready. I don't know if Mike McCarthy is going to have his guys ready, to be honest with you. And I, you know, it's crazy to say that in a playoff game. How can you not be ready? But how can you not be ready in a game that, you know, if you win, you have a chance at the one seed. You weren't ready for that. You put up 6 points in Washington at FedEx at a place that for the last 10 years, you've averaged like 40 points a game. You put up six. Like, I don't know, man. Mike McCarthy as a coach scares me. I don't know how prepared they're going to be. And that's the last point I wanted to make.
You can't lay down and dive. Well, the Eagles are playing the Giants today. They're not playing anybody, so we don't got it anyway. It's a six-point game in that game, realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's a six-point game. Like, you got to fight for that game. They should know fight. And I think that's a tell to that team's mentality. I think we've seen that a few times this year where they've kind of, like, got full of themselves. And they shut down and they just don't want to play. They don't play as hard for their coach. They don't play as hard for certain players. And I think they play hard. You say Cooper Rush. Man, if I see Cooper Rush turn up to the playoff field, playoff game.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, listen, he's what? Is he 3-1 as a starter?
Yeah, kind of a joke. Yeah, I just for the turnover factor. I'm just saying.
Brock Purdy does it. Brock Purdy can do it. So yeah. He can. So, but we'll
never know.
We'll move on from that, man.
It's actually crazy. So we're in lockstep with every single game, huh?
Yeah.
We got the Niners, Jags.
Niners, Jags.
Bills, Vikings.
Vikings, Bengals, Bucks.
Wow, man. That's crazy to me. That all six games, we're in lockstep.
Yeah, that probably will go over six.
Not over six. The Bills will win.
The Bills will win. That's right. The Bills will win. 1-6. The Bills probably winning by 20. Hopefully that counts for the other teams too.
Hopefully.
But that's going to do it, man. Any other closing points on week one? I can't believe we're in playoffs. Yeah. Playoff, NFL, wild card, round one. Anything else you want to talk about before we get on out of here?
Not really. A couple young quarterbacks getting their first playoff games. That's exciting. Yeah. You know, hopefully a lot more to come for those guys. But just excited to watch these games, man.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to get playoff football on, man. It's been it's always my favorite time of the year. Playoff football is great. The atmosphere is going to be great. I think we're going to see a couple good games this weekend. I'm excited. If you can pull up the NFL, if you pull up the NFL website or just on Google, put up NFL, there it'll show like the left side, the right side of these games. The entire right side slate is fantastic. Like if I'm looking at my screen right now, it's Chargers, Jags, Giants, Vikings, Cowboys, Bucks on the right side, and then everything else on the left side. I think all those are going to be blowouts and going to be just completely lead out. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah.
I don't know why I broke that up, but it is what it is. So, yeah, man. So, we'll meet again next week to talk divisional round games where all the fun begins then.
Yes.
All the fun begins because then I'm going to have heart attacks mid episode. So, it's going to be fun. So, but again, I appreciate you coming on last week to fill in when I'm gone. So, I really appreciate that to talk some playoff matchups and stuff. But, yeah, man, until then. So I appreciate everyone for listening. Thank you very much. I hope everyone enjoys the early morning. We've done a couple of these now in the last few weeks. So I hope everyone enjoys the early morning episode. Get out, enjoy the football today. Get some wings, whatever it is. Chill out. Enjoy yourself. It's a Saturday. So have a blast. And we'll see you guys in the next one next week. Appreciate it.